بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، معتمد المؤمنين غاية آمال العارفين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف أنبيائه وسيد رسله سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا من اسمه في السماء أحمد وفي الأرض محمد، وعلى آله الأطياب الأطهار وأصحابه المنتجبين الأخيار، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم ومبغضيهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. Welcome again all our brothers and sisters in faith, and let us start today for another session, and again it's going to be dedicated for understanding the Quranic theory and to understand one of the duties. It is about hijab. But as I have said yesterday, and I'm going to quote the introduction of my book about Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. The book is called The Martyr of Freedom. I quote, "It is a sad reality." I want you to listen carefully. It is a sad reality, especially in the present era, that many Muslims consider Imam Hussein alayhi salam as little more than a symbol of sorrow. They just want to cry. Rather than a symbol of action. We want actions. We don't want you just to cry and weep and that's it. And that's that. It's over. We want a symbol for action. They prefer to shed tears for him rather than follow in his footsteps. They see his remembrance as a ritual and not a school for inspiration and learning. They do not realize that in him we find living Islam. And it is our intention by writing this book to reveal these aspects of his inspirational personality. We are here to learn from his inspirational personality. We are not here only to cry and to shed tears. We are here to learn and to try to emulate and follow his footsteps. For many scholars, it seems impossible to imagine a book which would launch these thoughts into the intellectual fields, which is why we have taken up the challenge. This book set out to illustrate the lessons that every thinking human beings, not only Muslims, and I am decisive and firm in following this plan, it is for all human beings, not only Muslims. Sometimes Shia Muslims, they have even portrayed or presented Imam Hussein as if he's something only for Shia Muslims. And if we say Imam Hussein, this is our Imam Hussein. The Iraqis did that, the Lebanese followed after, the Pakistani and Iranians did the same. He is our. No, my dear, he is for all Muslims, that's first. And what's come for everyone, surprisingly probably today, is that he is for all human beings. So can thinking human being, not only Muslim, can take from Imam Hussein's character and his sacrifice. And that's why I insisted on making this quote at the beginning of our speech for today from this book, The Martyr of Freedom, Volume 2. Volume 2 is actually dedicated for the ethical concepts and social analysis from the master of martyrdom. He is the master of all martyrs, and therefore we have called him the master of martyrs, and according to this book, he is the martyr of freedom. now and today. We are referring to the same story as we have learned yesterday when he wanted to address those enemies and he made it clear, أَنَا الَّذِي أُقَاتِلُكُمْ وَالنِّسَاءُ لَيْسَ عَلَيْهُنَّ حَرَجٍ. Women are not involved, so let them be in peace. So ask your crowds, he said. فَمْنَعُوا عُتَاتَكُمْ عَنِ التَّعَرُّضُ لِحَرَمِ. See, he was willing to sacrifice his life in order to protect them. مَا دُمْتُ حَيَّ. As long as I am alive, I won't allow anyone to attack them. So this is a lesson for us men. Are we willing to sacrifice our life for our wives? Shouldn't we learn from him as how to protect them and how to fight for our honor? Al-arḍ wa sharaf, it is your honor and you should be a man of honor. This is what we are learning from Imam Hussein. We are not here just to shed tears and say, sallallahu alayki wa ba'dunna. No! This is not the message of Imam Hussein. And I know that every one of you, both males and females, we are here to learn from Imam Hussein's inspirational personality. So if you are willing, and if you all agree, I want you to recite loudly salawat. There is a slight problem. Unfortunately, that we are facing problems with some of our male partners here, that they are what? They are asking different thing compared to what is required shalwar kameez, isn't it what they call it? I don't know what they call it. Shalwar kameez. Now you see, the problem is, why don't we refer to the Islamic teaching? It is all about hijab. Hijab might got mixed sometimes with traditions and cultural things, and we should not mix culture and religion together. I know our Muslims' culture is based on Islamic teaching, but it has sometimes manifested itself in chador, as like in Iran. It has manifested itself in abaya, just like in Syria and Lebanon and Iraq. Or in shalwar kameez, as it is in Pakistan and Indian subcontinent. But this is not necessarily what is required from a Muslim woman. A Muslim woman must have hijab. And that's why we have insisted on starting today, please brothers and sisters, let us follow the Islamic pure teaching of Quran, which is all about preserving modesty and chastity, and it is manifested in hijab. Regardless of what you are going to wear, I only want hijab, and this is what is mentioned in our Shia and Sunni scholars' work and what they have mentioned in their books. If you are ready, I'm going to tell you what are those requirements that are made an obligation for a Muslim woman to have. If you are ready, I want you to recite loudly salawat. There are four conditions. First, it should cover the entire body except the hands and face. First condition. Second, it should not be transparent. Third condition, it should be loose or baggy, as not tight fitting. As I have mentioned yesterday, those girls who are wearing jeans, you know, it's tight fit. So what kind of hijab is that? Fourth condition, it should be plain so that it does not catch the eye, and neither masculine in style nor ostentations. Some women just try to follow men and, you know, just somehow follow the masculine style. This is not what is required from a Muslim woman. She should wear her hijab and still somehow manifest herself that she is a lady. She is a woman. And this is what is required from our females. That's all. There's nothing which is called here abaya, chador, shalwar kameez. Nobody mentioned that. This is what is all mentioned, and I have summarized from all scholars and all jurisprudence, that's what they have said. No more. So we have to relate ourselves to the jurisprudential explanations from our scholars and do not get mixed cultural, traditional things with our Islamic teachings. Why? Because we are Muslims. Before we are Iranians or Arabs or Pakistani or Indian or whatever. We are Muslims before we are black or white or whatever. We are Muslims before we get addicted to those traditional teaching. We follow our Quran and we are proud of that. If you agree, I want you to recite loudly salawat. Now, some of our brothers came to say, well, you know, Shaykh, and there is a question here. Some people say, it is not mentioned that clear in Quran, that explicitly clear, that hijab is required from our Muslim females. And then I ask him, where have you got this information? It seems somehow people are interfering in our lives and just try to cast doubt. There is no such a thing called hijab. Muslim women are not obliged and men are not required to lower their gaze. Blah, 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 blah. It's not going to end, believe me. Why? Because they're just trying to cast doubt and let you think something else. Well, there must be something wrong. Quran did not mention that. First of all, I ask him, can you please tell me that is that correct, that everything is mentioned in Quran explicitly? Can you say that? Now you have to pray. Is that like that, that in Quran you have to pray for the morning prayer, 2 rakah. For Dhuhr and Asr prayer, 4 rakahs. For Maghrib, 3 rakahs. Can you mention that in Quran? And he said, no. So why then, for God's sake, you are so sure about your prayers that it is 2 rakah for morning, 3 rakah for Maghrib, 4 rakah for Zuhr? How could you be so sure? And then you are trying somehow to cast doubts about that regulation, i.e. about hijab. Why? Quran is a book of guidance, but it is a general guiding. It is not specific. It does not refer to each and every single details of Sharia law. So you cannot expect Quran to be a book of jurisprudence. It is a book of guidance. Kitabu Hidayah. And indeed Quran did mention fihi tibyanu kullu shay. It's everything is going to be explained in this book of guidance. And we all agree on that. But it is the general guidance. You cannot expect Quran to go and explain each and every single details of Sharia law. Why? Because it is not a jurisprudence book. It is a book for guidance. You'll find some ethical values explained in Quran. And you'll find sometimes referring to a historical story, like the case of the book of the people of the cave, Ahlul Kahf. And he even mentioned and stated in Quran about their numbers and about the dog they had and how many there were. Some of these historical details, but it has not, for example, mentioned the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam explicitly in Quran. Or Imam Hussein explicitly in Quran. So what do you expect? To say, well, you know, Imam Ali's name is not mentioned in Quran. Therefore, why we are Shia Muslim? So forget about Shia Islam. And Imam Hussein is not mentioned by name in Quran. So you forget about Ashura. At the end, you will say, we'll forget about everything. Even we forget about prayers, we forget about everything. It sounds like really dubious and it is doubtful. I don't accept this, and it is clear there's something wrong behind that. We follow Quran, but Quran is, as I said, a book for general guidance. Al-Hidayah. But it is the general guidance. You cannot expect to be a book for explaining each and every single details of Sharia law. Therefore, we are going to work today on the Quranic theory regarding hijab. And let's see what is actually the Quranic theory about hijab. We have already explained that, and if you want, I am going to recite some of these Quranic verses which is clear about hijab. Of course, it has been explained later on by Sunnah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. These are Surah Al-Ahzab, verses 22-23. We read, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, all wives of the Prophet, you are not like any other woman. If you do your duty, then do not act too indulgent while talking to others. Lest someone whose heart contains this sickness, they are sick in their heart, فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ, may thereby be encouraged, employ suitable speech, remain in your home and do not dress up fancily. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ جَاهِلِيَّ, because women during the time of ignorance, jahiliyyah, were dressed just like nowadays, now what you see on the streets of Houston or California. And do not dress up fancily the way they used to dress during the time of primitive ignorance. تبرج الجاهلية الأولى. So keep up prayer and pay welfare tax, etc. You see, it is clear that it is addressing the wives of the prophets. But the fact is that what is the difference between the wives of the prophets and other females? Aren't we all equal? All females are equal in this regard? Yes. And can you say then, because these are the wife of the prophets, therefore they are obliged, but we as ordinary females and women, we are not obliged to that. Wrong, because they are equal in this context, and therefore all the jurisprudence, both Shia and Sunni, agreed that this applies to all women of mankind, i.e. those who became Muslims. So it is clear from Quran that it is a hijab required from woman. And then another Quranic verse, it says, فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَاب. What does it mean, فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَاب? There should be a curtain, something while you address them. There should be something that prevents you from looking at them. So they should feel free in their privacy, but there should be some curtain, something like it is called in Quranic teaching, hijab. And that's why this theory of hijab is actually derived from Quran, and that's why we are going to discuss the Quranic theory. Hijab. What is the reason or the purpose behind hijab? Hijab is to promote equal opportunity. Now in Europe, this became like a principle nowadays, equal opportunity. What does it mean? Now here in this center, if there are people who are disabled and they want to get into the center, you must provide them a way as to get to this center and to learn. If they are disabled and they are using wheelchair, you have to give them equal opportunities, just like those who are healthy. Exactly. This is what is called equal opportunity. Now, Now, you may say, well, you know, Sheikh, what has this to do with equal opportunity? What has this to do with equal opportunity? I'm not going to quote your Quran or Hadith or Sunnah. I'm going to quote a lady which is called Germaine Greer. She's a feminist, Australian feminist. I quote, this is what is referring to equal opportunity. Maybe I couldn't make it, I quote, maybe I couldn't make it, she says. Maybe I don't have a pretty smile, good teeth, nice teeth, long legs and cheeky ass and sicky sex. Maybe I don't know how to handle men and increase my market value so that the rewards due to the feminine will accrue to me. Then again, maybe I'm sick of the masquerade. I'm sick of pretending eternal youth. I'm sick of belaying my own intelligence, my own will, my own sex. I am sick of peering at the world through false hairs, using wigs and so on. I'm sick of weightening my head with a dead man, unable to move my neck freely, terrified of rain, of wind, of dancing too vigorously in case I sweat into my... I'm sick of powder room. I'm sick of pretending that some fetish males, self-important pronouncement are the objects of my undivided attention. I'm sick of going to films and plays when someone else wants to, and sick of having no opinion of my own about either. I'm sick of being transvestite. I refuse to be a female impersonator. I am a woman, not a castrate. Unquote. You see, she's speaking about some kind of suffering of Muslim, of Western women. They are sick, they are just pretending to do this. They are just obsessed with their outlook as how to do this, how to do that. They are too busy with their outlook. And even a president or prime minister who is a female, before she gets into public, the first thing she has to do her makeup, you know, do this, this and that. She cannot go like that. Our sisters, our Muslim women, they just get into the public wearing hijab, well respected, and they don't need to be sick of all that business. So it is actually about promoting equal opportunity. Second, hijab is to encourage balance equality, where a man and woman are considered human beings, and their humanity, not their sexuality, is appreciated. And this is what she wanted to say as well. She's a feminist, but we are not approaching this as a feminism theory. We are approaching it as a Quranic theory, and therefore we insist on hijab that it is promoting equality. Okay. The Quranic theory is healthy sexual formula in the Quran. Any form of sexual enticement outside marriage is prohibited. Any form of sexual satisfaction is not allowed beyond marriage. So what does this mean? A Muslim woman is not allowed to feel her femininity even within a family environment? Wrong? Of course she's entitled to have her feeling of being a pretty, attractive lady. But it is within that marriage environment. And this is what Islam has made it very clear. You are not allowed, it is haram, it is prohibited. But within marriage, everything seems to be allowed. And this is the second point. Husband and wife are free to do almost everything. They are encouraged and will be rewarded for enjoying life within intimate enticement and sexual satisfaction. And now, it seems as if modern man is the same man. And if you see that caricature, this cartoon refers how men in the old ages were like that, treating women like that, and now the modern man is just, you know, with ties and suits, and but they're all the same. Nothing have changed. The problem is that if you read the statistics, and there are so many here, I have gathered all of them here, you see how the modern woman is again oppressed, but through the modern man's economic system. It is the economic system which is ruling now over some of these societies, capitalist societies. And we insist that you should not be cruel towards the female part of the society. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you love him, I want you to recite loud the salawat. He said, Al-mar'atu rayhana. It's just like a flower. Al-mar'atu rayhana. Wa laysat qahramana. She's not like a slave. She's not a slave girl for you. She's like a flower. So enjoy it. And enjoy life together. Do not make a mess of her. This is not a slave girl for you. She is like your partner. So enjoy life together, and this is what is meant by Rayhana, وليست بقهرمانة. And you can see a Muslim woman, even in this form of a doll, if she's dressed like that, well, I feel more respect for that doll compared to, what's her name? Barbie. Ha. Sounds really modern name, isn't it? But she looks really exhausting, isn't it? She tried to, you know, dye her hair, blonde hair, just to look attractive. She is really exhausted. So, and as there are our brothers and asking, please, there's no space. If you may recite salawat and step, come forward, please. Salla ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. I'm grateful for your cooperation because there are people who want to come. So let's make more space for them and step and come forward. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, hijab then is meant to be the means of protection for the family and eventually for the whole society. Now, this is a cartoonist who has actually painted in a clever way an Arab man, and I'm not being here anyhow, you know, sarcastic against Arabs, because I am an Arab and I was born in an Arabic country. It's just a cartoonist who has made that, and because he is an Arab, so he was just somehow, you know, affected by his culture. And as you can see, he's married to that lady who's dressed modestly in the form of hijab. And this is what is required from a Muslim woman, a lady. But the problem is that despite being married to her, and he says, أَنَا أُحِبُّ الْأَصَالَ, I like the genuine thing, I like really the good, real lady. أُحِبُّ الْأَصَالَ وَأَعْشَقَ الْمُعَاشَرَةِ. Then he says, yeah, المُعَاشَرَةِ. مُعَاشَرَةِ, you know, مُعَاشَرَةِ means modernity. مُعَاشَرَةِ means just having girlfriend, boyfriend relation. This is what it means, مُعَاشَرَةِ. So you see, he's married to her, but he's looking to those girls. So there is a problem. There is a threat for family as an institution. Those ladies, Barbie kinds of ladies, of course, these are threat for the family as an institution. And it is therefore, this cartoonist was clever to put it in this way. He is married to her, they are joining together in their hands, but his face and eyes are just focusing on that Barbie style of girls. Now, that's what we said. Hijab is meant to be the means of protection, but for the family and eventually for the whole society. Why? Because the whole society is based on one social unit, and that social unit is what? It's the sacred institution of family. And if these family values are lost, there will be no stable and healthy society. This is why we insist, dear brothers and sisters, you have to realize the importance of hijab, and you have to understand what a wonderful gift Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with. You are blessed with this teaching of Islam, and that's why we say it is actually a protection for the whole society. And therefore, we insist that This is a gift of Allah, and therefore we are following this gift. Now, the case on Imam Hussein has to speak about sometimes how men, unfortunately even nowadays, our Muslim men, those who are somehow westernized, what's their problem? They ask their wives to do what? To take off their hijab and make up and feel free. Is this something that you expect from a Muslim man? We were just talking about Imam Hussein. We should learn from Imam Hussein. Is this the way that it is expected from a Muslim man? Unfortunately, some Muslim men are like that. So the lady is somehow lost of words and she's stuck. From one side, from one hand, she's a Muslim and she's obliged to preserve hijab. From the other hand, she's what? She is in love with her husband. She wants to protect her family. So there is somehow a contradiction between her duty and her love. She loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but she's a human being. She wants to carry on her life and her love for her husband. But that ignorant husband, unfortunately, does not realize and does not appreciate the value of that love. And he's asking her to get rid of this hijab. What's this, you know, be westernized, be modern woman, Barbie style? Is this what is expected from a Muslim man? I don't know. I must say it is a shame for a Muslim man. And I want you, our young generation, our youth, our kids, you have to be proud of your identity. You are Muslims and you have to live up to the standards of Islamic teaching. And it is your duty, our sisters, to teach your children, especially your boys, to be proud of their identity and to feel that they are Muslims and they should be proud of this teaching of Quran. And if you're not teaching that social conduct, these ethical values, they will be losers when they are grown up. So again, you are just to blame yourselves, and then the whole Muslim community will be losers, bunch of losers. Why, for God's sake? It is our duty to convey the message of Allah and Imam Hussein to our next generation and to be proud as how to be Muslims. Now we are learning actually from Imam Hussein. And do you know what has happened during that day of Muharram? Now we are Muslims, we are Shia Muslims as well. But do you know that they were thirsty for many days? Nobody gave them water to drink. And despite all of that, his wives, I mean Imam Hussein's wives, never surrendered. They remained proud on the right path. And they supported Imam Hussein. His sisters, they were with him, Umm Kulthum, Zainab. They supported him. And they were proud of that brother. But it is actually thirst which was killing them. Can't you read from the historical records that Ali al-Akbar went to fight? But did you know what he felt when he went there? He was thinking, I can fight until the end of this day, and I may die, but I don't care if I got killed. I am only thirsty. So he went back to Imam Hussein. He said, at least something to drink. I'm going to die, and this death is going to be caused by thirst. What do you think Imam Hussein replied? He wasn't crying. He wasn't complaining. He wasn't saying, well, you know, they are full of enemies here. He just made it in a very clever way. He said, put your tongue inside my mouth. And once he inserted his mouth inside his mouth, he felt how thirsty he was. So can't you feel that I'm thirsty just like you? So be patient, my son, he said, and go. soon you will meet the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the teachings of Ashura. It is the emotions and tears that would be shed without your will because of our love and our emotions and our devotion to Imam Hussein. So, go my son. ستلتقي بجدك المصطفى الذي يسقيك جرعة لن تظمأ بعدها أبدا. Soon you will meet your grandfather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will give you water. It's not like an ordinary water. Water, well, you will never feel thirst anymore. لن تظمأ بعدها أبدا. He went and he was sacrificing all what he had and he did it. But the enemies did not stop there. They carried on. Imam Hussein went and he was very angry, and then he could reach the river, Shatt al-Furat. Once he wanted to take some water to drink, once he took it up in his hand, imagine, you are thirsty. And let those men listen to the teaching of Imam Hussein. You know what has happened? Some of the enemies from the other side, from the camp of Ibn Sa'd, they said, أَتَلْتَذُّ بِالْمَا وَقَدْ هُتِكَتْ حَرَمُكَ. Do you enjoy your water drinking while your wives and your women there being attacked by the enemy? And he's yet alive. How would he allow that? What did he do? فَرَمَ الْمَاءَ وَلَمْ يَشْرَبْ. He did not drink. And he went to his tents. This is the teaching of Imam Hussein. Despite your thirst, you have to fight for your honor and for your chastity and for your family. This is the teaching of Imam Hussein. And now I pray that inshallah our men and our women will learn from Imam Hussein and convey this message to the next generation. I'm sorry that I have taken such a long time. Let us just recite ziyara and then dua. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد منا لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم ارزقنا في الدنيا زيارتهم وفي الآخرة شفاعتهم، واجعلنا ممن يطلب بثارهم مع إمام منصور قائم بالحق يا الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. اللهم عجل فرجه وسهل مخرجه واجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره. وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. صلى على محمد. I ask our brother to come. تفضل.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Have a seat, brothers. We can have for 5 minutes, inshallah. Sisters, have a seat, please. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد. السلام على الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى علي ابن الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. السلام على الشهيد بكربلاء السلام على الإمام المظلوم السلام على الإمام العطشان. Peace be upon you, O Aba Abdullah. When the time came from Imam Hussein to leave Medina, he departed to depart to Mecca. He headed to the grave of his grandfather, Rasulullah, and stood by the grave. Imam Hussein, standing by the grave of Rasulullah, his grandfather. Oh, grandfather, Ya Jaddah, I wish you were here. I wish you were here, oh, grandfather. السلام عليك يا جدي يا رسول الله. I am Hussein. Do you remember me, O grandfather? I am your grandson. I'm here to bid farewell to you. Grandfather, I come to complain to you what the Ummah, your Ummah, is doing to me and to my children and my family. They forgot what you have said about me. Al-Husayn minni wa ana min al-Husayn. I am from Hussein, and Hussein is from me. Oh, Jaddah, grandfather, the people have forgotten when you told them to take care of your grandchildren, of Hassan and Hussein. I am here, Ya Rasulullah.
Oh, Rasulullah. And all of a sudden, Imam Hussein goes to sleep. And in his little nap, he has a dream. And the dream, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alih, speaks to him. Alayka minni salam, ya habibi, ya Hussein. Alayka minni salam, ya abna binti. Don't worry, I will take care of you. Soon you will be coming to me. Soon you will be joining me. And you will be joined your mother, Fatima al-Zahra, alayha salam. And you will be joining your father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Sayyid al-Wasiyyin. Soon, ya waladi, ya Hussein. You will be joining us forever in the heaven. Ya Hussein. All of a sudden, Imam Hussein wakes up. And when he wakes up, he realizes the time has come. The call from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near. He has been ordered to sacrifice himself for the sake of Islam, for the sake of truth. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, he says. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi al-aliyy al-azim. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم سيدي رسول الله سيدي أمير المؤمنين سيدتي فاطمة الزهراء سيدي حسن المجتبى عظم الله أجوركم سادتي بمقتل حبيبنا وحبيبكم أبا عبد الله الحسين صلوات اللهم سيعلم الظالمون إلى أي منقلب سينقلبون. And those who oppresses will know what kind of a reward they shall have. Brothers and sisters, we're going to do a little noha, latmiya together inshallah, and then we will conclude. You can stand and do the latmiya. Can I have the light on, please? Ya Hussein. 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 Be strong, Zainab, after I go. After me. Be strong, Zainab, after I go. Zainab, after I go. Be strong, Zainab, don't cry. Be strong, Zainab, don't cry. Be strong, Zainab, you have to fight. Be strong, Zainab, you have to fight. Show them what's right. Show them what's right. Be strong. strong, Zainab. You are to go. Be strong, Zainab. After I go. Be strong, Zainab. After I go. Be strong, Zainab. After I go. Your task is great. Be strong, Zainab. Your task is great. Be strong, Zainab. This is our faith. Be strong, Zainab. Don't let Sultana cry. Don't let Sultana cry. Be strong, Zainab, after I die. Be strong, Zainab, after I die. Be strong, Zainab, stand up for Yazid. Be strong, Zainab, stand up for Yazid. Be strong, Zainab, you will succeed. Be strong, Zainab, you will succeed. Be strong, Zainab, you will succeed. Be strong, Zainab, they will build down the tent. Be strong, Zainab, they will burn down the tent. Be strong, Zainab, soldiers will be sent. Be strong, Zainab, soldiers will be sent. Be strong, Zainab, after I go. Be strong, Zainab, after I go. When you see my head, when you see my head. Be strong, Zainab, once you see my head. Be strong, Zainab, when you see my head. Mortis do not shed. Mortis do not shed. Look after Ali, be strong, Zainab. Look after Ali, be strong, Zainab. Look after Ali, his sick you can see. His sick you can see. Salawat. يا حسين 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 يا مهدي يا مهدي يا مهدي أدركنا يا مهدي أدركنا صلى على محمد وآل محمد.